this is an unusual episode of Cut the Clutter, because this is not about a story that's unfolding today and that's confusing all of us. It's about something that happened just now, but that is the spark. So what has happened over the last 48 hours is the spark for me to go back to something which we are forgetting, but which we should not forget. Forgive, yes, maybe large parts of it, as many people have, but not forget. So what has happened over the last 48 hours that I thought I will mention to you, and that is the spark for today's Cut the Clutter. That is the assassination of a man, a 62-year-old man called Balwinder Singh Sandhu in Punjab. Now, also known popularly as Comrade Balwinder Singh Sandhu. And he was living in village Bhikhiwind. If you know Punjab or border Punjab a little bit, it's a village almost on the border in the Khemkaran region. Khemkaran, many of us might remember, was the site of the famous Battle of Asal Uttar in 1967. So it has imprinted on the entire country's memory, not just Punjab's. Now, Comrade Balwinder Singh Sandhu was a school teacher, not exactly a school teacher, a school owner, you might say. His family owned a school there. So two motorcycle-born young people came into the building. They've been recorded by the CCTV cameras at the school. They pulled out a gun and shot him 6 times, and obviously he had no chance of survival. Now, why does an incident like that spark a Cut the Clutter now? That too in a state like Punjab. Because I will now take you back a full 30 years. Because as we keep saying sometimes, past performance is guide to the future, unlike what mutual fund advertisements say. Now, if you go back 30 years, then you will find a remarkable story. And I will be sharing several of those stories today as links for you, but also on the screen. And you will see these stories or these highlights running on the screen. So in India's history, it's probably the only instance where 4 members of a family, a civilian family, 4 members of a family were collectively awarded the Shaurya Chakra. This happened in 1993, and this happened, please read that Shaurya Chakra citation, which also I am sharing with you on the screen and also as a link. It tells you that in 11 months, there were more than almost 20 efforts on the lives of this family in village Bhikhiwind. Of those 20 efforts, the biggest one was September 30, 1990. That's why I say I take you back 30 years. September 30, 1990, when this citation tells you militants, terrorists, insurgents, whatever you call them, in a strength of about 200 attacked their house. Now, they had been under attack for a long time, so their house, they had sort of fortified their house. The entire family knew how to defend itself. Government had given them weapons also. The government had also posted some special police officers in the adjoining house, but they used to run away the moment these people got attacked by terrorists. And I will tell you what the picture was at that point. So they beat back that attack by nearly 200 people. How do I talk about this in such detail? If I go back to the January 15 cover story of India Today, January 15, 1991. That cover story I wrote, and pictures there were by my colleague Prashant Panjiyar. So we traveled on those districts, the troubled districts of Punjab at that time, which militants used to claim were liberated districts. They were not liberated in that sense, but as we recorded in that story, and I'm sharing the link from India Today with you, in that story, it is the terrorists who collected taxes even from officers. They went to government officers' offices, checked out their files to see if they were doing their work in Punjabi or not. They had banned Hindi movies. They had even banned Hindi music. In fact, even Chitrahar had to carry Gurmukhi Punjabi subtitles. It might look ridiculous, but that's how it was done. So many of the things that we might have seen having happened in Kashmir subsequently had already happened in Punjab, frankly, at a much larger scale. So 1990-91 was the peak of Punjab terrorism. It was not the year in which Operation Blue Star took place and Bhindranwale died. That was a bad year also, but in terms of sheer number of people killed, 1991. In fact, if you look at the databases, and there's a lot of databases available now on the phase of terror in Punjab, between 1979 and 1989, about 5,000 civilians had been killed in all terror incidents in Punjab. That is how many years? That's 11 years almost. Between 1990 and 91, just 12-month period, more than 5,078, I think exact count is 5,078 people were killed, civilians were killed in Punjab. 5,058 civilians were killed in Punjab. And several hundred policemen, by my count, about 1,500 security personnel. Most of them were from Punjab police, some CRP, some BSF, a few from the army, a few even from ITBP, I think 11 from ITBP. So this was the worst period of violence in Punjab. And that's when militants were claiming, and the Pakistanis were also claiming in their propaganda, that Punjab now had quote-unquote liberated zones. Now, those zones, it was claimed, existed in a region of Punjab called Majha. Now, Majha is generally the districts of Punjab west of the Bias River. And you can see it on the river, west of the Bias River, and then abutting Pakistan. And then as you go south, you come to Malwa, which is Firozpur, etc., which also borders Pakistan. So Majha districts were the worst affected. And in fact, militants used to say that Din hamara hai, din aapka hai, raat hamari hai. So the police, the government authorities could still venture out in the villages or on the roads in daytime, but at night, terrorists were in charge. In fact, even on that visit in Punjab that Prashant and I went to, there were many occasions at night when you came to a checkpoint or on the road or a picket, and you got down and you figured out that you were not being stopped by the police. These were checkpoints run not by the police, but by militants who wanted their tax and who wanted to find out who you were. But I can also tell you that at that point, at least until then, there was honor among thieves. They did not harm, they let journalists go once they figured out you were journalists. So while investigating that cover story for India Today, we heard about a family in village Bhikiwind, a family of old communists, which was fighting back against militancy. So as we were told that, we went to meet this family. This family is the Balbinder Singh family. And you see the picture of that India Today cover. That is the family. That is Balbinder Singh, the husband. And that's his wife, Jagdish Kaur. And with them were his brother, Ranjit Singh, and his wife, Balbinder Kaur. And they had children. And if you read that story, and parts of that story will run in highlights, and you can read the whole thing in the link, even their two-year-old child by now had learned how to fill Sten gun magazines, because everybody knew that when attackers come in large numbers, you fortified your house, you need to be able to keep firing. If you stop firing, then they will break in. So even little kids in the house, even a two-year-old knew. In fact, he demonstrated to us, even a two-year-old knew how to fill Sten gun magazines. So they had a bunch of weapons. The entire family, everybody in the family was armed. In fact, even the adjoining house where another comrade called Comrade Major Singh lived, they were also armed and they were also under attack. Now, Punjab terror is a very interesting story, because while terrorists may have been whoever they were, to think that they were pro-Sikh or anti-Hindu, they killed a lot of Hindus. But if you look at the total number of people they killed, even in these years, 70% of all the people that terrorists killed in Punjab were Sikhs. They were not Hindus. They killed a lot of the Akalis. They killed Sardar Balwant Singh, a titan of Akali politics. They tried to kill Gurcharan Singh Tohra, who was the chief of the Shiromani Gurdwara Prabandhak Committee. His driver, a guard, and a colleague were killed, and that was an attack near Patiala, not far from Chandigarh. So they attacked everybody, and they attacked leaders of the Congress. Many of them, Indira Gandhi, we all know, but even Professor V.N. Tiwari, the distinguished professor at Punjab University and the father of Congress leader and member of parliament, Manish Tiwari, he was assassinated. People from the BJP were assassinated. In fact, we were in Amritsar in April 84 when Harbans Lal Khanna, the head of the BJP in Amritsar district, was assassinated by terrorists. I will also share with you a story from the New York Times, which just tells you a story of insensitivity. Because see the headline, Sikh gunmen kill Hindu. I mean, these were terrorists who killed a leader of the BJP, a district chief of the BJP, and prominent person in Amritsar, but the headline in the New York Times then was Sikh gunmen kill Hindu. Nevertheless, that happened. So BJP people were killed, Congress people were killed, and the left leaders were killed, and the left workers were killed. And it was a peculiar history where a lot of the fight back was led, armed fight back was led by workers or cadres of the left, and that is where the left, the BJP and the Congress, and in a hidden way, even the moderate Akalis all worked together. So these were some comrade families. These were CPM families that fought back. And in fact, terrorists tried to exterminate all such families. Major Singh in this story of ours is quoted as describing an attack on him, which was carried out by a terrorist disguised as a milkman who brought a bomb in a bucket of milk. And what happened, before he could reach the house, as he reached the house, the bomb blew up, because this was not very well rigged. The bomb blew up and the terrorist himself was blown to pieces. And these people were so courageous that we asked Major Singh, "Ki hoya? What happened?" He said, "Pata nahi lagya ji, pehla hi bomb phad gaya, aur spare parts bhi nahi mile." Spare part means insan ke spare parts nahi mile. Terrorist was blown to bits. So it was families like these, and they fought, and the government relied on them. In fact, the family also told us, it's in the story, also told us that when they told the police that, "Look, you got the special police officers in the house in our street, but when the militants come, they run away." In fact, militants tell them they are coming and they run away. So the police said, "Look, we can do nothing. Either you shift to our police station and we'll try and protect you there. We can't protect you in the house. Second, if you think the special police officers run away, then simple, we will give you the key, we'll put a lock on their house and give you the keys. So when militants are coming, you go out and lock them from outside." Think, this is a real story. It's a real published story. So the man who's been killed was on the hit list all this while, because he and his family had dared to defy terrorists at the worst of times in Punjab. When 1991 was a very bad period. In 1991, India also had the worst prime minister in its history by a long distance, V.P. Singh, who got everything wrong, on particularly on national security. He got everything wrong on external security, because in 1990-91, when there was a warlike noise from Pakistan, it looks like there was a nuclear blackmail, he panicked. Definitely, it is something that is documented. He panicked and he didn't know what to do. He was all at sixes and sevens. Then it was under him that Kashmir terror started. Rubaiya Syed was kidnapped. Mufti Saab was his home minister. After that, in Punjab, to appease the Akalis, he released jailed terrorists. He withdrew the army. He withdrew the paramilitary forces. He deliberately weakened the security grid against militancy. One, to appease the Akalis. And second, because of some woolly-headed thinking that this will win the hearts and minds of the people. Exactly the opposite happened. As I told you, 1991 was the bloodiest period of any insurgency, any terrorism in India's history. 5,058 civilians killed, 1,500 security men killed, all in one tiny state, which even today has a population of just 2.6 crore. So that puts it in perspective for you. He is the man that Indian system, or the Indian state now, has failed to protect. Now, I will just give you an example of how bad things were at that time. Now, that's why I keep saying past performance is a guide to the future, because we must not forget. We forgive, but we don't forget. Now, when something happens in Kabul, a bomb goes off, 30 killed, we get shocked. Something goes off in Baghdad, 70 killed, 80 killed, we get shocked. Arey Baba, what kind of terrorism? This only happens in countries like this, Islamic terror, this, that. Thank God, we might have something happening. Occasionally, people come from Pakistan, and that also since 2008, 2011, nothing has happened. I will recount to you some incidents in that 88 to 91 period at random to give you an idea of how bad things were in Punjab at that time. 31 March 1988, 18 members of one Hindu family massacred by militants. 2nd April 1988, that is within 2 days of 31st March, 37 people, mostly Hindus, killed across the state selectively by militants. Why? Because they wanted to create communal riots or a Hindu backlash in other parts of the country, as it happened after Indira Gandhi's assassination. 15th of May, same year, that is 6 weeks after the second incident, 26 people in Samana Mandi were killed, just random firing, Hindus, mostly Hindus, 100 were injured. So this was just a bunch of AK-47s firing freely, uninhibited, unchallenged. 16th May, that is the day after of 88, there were 40 people gunned down across the state, mostly Hindus, 100 injured. 17th May 1988, that is a day. So all this has happened, 15th May, 16th May, 17th May, 3 consecutive days. 35 laborers from Eastern UP and Bihar, as usual, bhaiyas as they are called in Punjab, 35 laborers picked up and assassinated and massacred. Now, a month later, this moves to Kurukshetra in Haryana, but adjoining Punjab. 19th June in Kurukshetra, you know, those days, Ramayana of Ramanand Sagar was very popular on TV, and not everybody had TV. And a lot of people tended to watch it together with others, like a community. So a bunch of people were watching Ramanand Sagar's Ramayana in a shop in Kurukshetra. Terrorists came, opened fire. Anybody who's watching Ramayana is a good target. 15 people were massacred. What was the idea again? To get the Hindus angry again and to start communal riots. Hats off to this country and its spirit that after that one big blunder of 1984, no such thing happened again. Then a week after that, 25 June 1989, there was an RSS Shaka going on in Moga in Punjab. Again, terrorists came, gunned down 27 Swayamsevaks. So you know what were they after? They were after, again, trying somehow to recreate 84 riots, again did not happen. And if you think this is bad enough, then you come ahead of that. Then you come to 1990. So there is 7 February, 32 people killed in Abohar Mandi, again in free firing. 30th March 1990 in Ferozpur, 10 people killed, massacred in a market, just like that. 15th June 1991. A train was waylaid, terrorists got into the train. How many people were killed? 80 people were killed. And there were a bunch of other incidents where buses were hijacked, Hindus were pulled out and killed. There was also a case where as Hindus were lined up to be killed, two young Sikhs protested that don't do it, this is not correct. You know what did the terrorists do? They shot both those Sikhs first. And then they shot the Hindus. In fact, that became a turning point in public opinion in Punjab as well, because people said these people are not pro-Sikh or anti-Hindu. They are just terrorists and they are driven by the Pakistanis. Now, that is the short story and short history of what was happening at that time. Now, I told you, I gave you my free and frank view on VP Singh, who really, history should hold him accountable for the damage it did to his country. Whatever he did with Mandal and all, I have a different view. I think that was good. That was a good step. And today, that is the reason every government, including the Modi government, is carrying on with OBC reservations. But what he did on internal and external security was a crime to the nation. So by the time he left and Chandrasekhar came for a few months, Punjab was already a mess. So in 1990, one of the first things he did, VP Singh, to appease the Akalis was to withdraw KPS Gill from law and order duties in Punjab. So he was withdrawn and he was put in cold storage someplace, or as we say in the heartland, khudde line. He was put in a corner someplace. When Chandrasekhar came in, he saw the problem. He did a few cosmetic things. I think Subodh Khan Sahai was his Minister of State for Internal Security. He moved some money to Punjab police to try and fight terrorists. It was in that period that we wrote this cover story when this fight back had begun at a small level. And that's when people like the Sandhu family were armed by the police. That at least those who are willing to fight their own battles, we should arm them and do whatever we can for them. Then the rest is history. There was an effort to make an election in Punjab, to hold an election in Punjab in 1991, which was a ridiculous effort because Punjab wasn't ready for elections. The government in Delhi was weak. In that election campaign, which was being held along with the national election, 27 candidates were killed. Security was so poor that many candidates said, we don't want police security, we'll carry our own security. So people, they hired their own thugs who were carrying AK-47s. It was anarchy. Rajiv Gandhi got assassinated by an LTT group in Tamil Nadu. That led to many changes. Third week of June of 1991, Narasimha Rao came to power. One of the first sensible things he did was to cancel those elections in Punjab. Otherwise, that would have led to God knows what kind of trouble. And then he moved KPS Gill back to Punjab. He also moved Central Police Forces. I think more than 200 companies of Central Armed Police Forces were moved to Punjab. The army was also moved in some ways in cordon and search operations, not actively involved in operations. And what happened after that is history, and that is history that we know from also KPS Gill's writings, interviews. I will also share with you an interview that I had with him, a long interview for India Today. After that phase of insurgency ended in 93-94, I'm also happily sharing with you and gratefully sharing with you two pictures. One which I took on his 82nd birthday. You can see Mr. Gill there in retirement, lion in winter, holding his glass of wine, and Mrs. Gill cutting his cake. And also my last interview with him, which was a walk the talk in his last days before he passed away. And that's the reason he's not walking, he is sitting. So this is a story. We know the success against Punjab terror. Essentially, it was the doing of Punjab's own people and the Sikhs who thought they had had enough. We also know better what happened in 84, Blue Star, maybe a little bit Black Thunder. But this period of 1991-92 is forgotten because that was the worst, the bloodiest period in Punjab. That's when terrorists actually ruled several districts of Punjab. That's when a family like these Sandhus stood up when they were attacked by 200 people at a time. In fact, if you see that Shaurya Chakra citation, it tells you that two of those attacks involved the use of rocket launchers. In 1990, to use rocket launchers on a civilian family in a border village in Punjab, you can imagine what it was. It's one of those that we've not been able to protect. And his family tells you that he had a security for a long time. Then as usual, the government got tired and security vanished. So I will use a line that Mr. Gill used to use, and I know it's a rough line, but I'm using it because Mr. Gill used it, and it was so apt. Because he used to say, look, we are doing it for our country, all right, but remember, you look after yourselves for your future, because governments are ungrateful. For governments, we are as useful as contraceptives when we are needed. But once the use is over, then government just will throw us away or flush us down the toilet. So something like that has happened in this case. And I also share with you tweets from another army officer, Brigadier Bajwa, who is a gallant officer who survived an attempt to blow up his convoy in Kashmir, had 48 stitches on an IED, survived, fought in Kargil, has been on the hit list of Kashmiri terrorists, and is now complaining that his security also has been withdrawn or is completely inadequate. So think about it. And because this seemed to me such an important story today, I thought I will step away from my normal Katna Clutter staple and talk about this instead.